Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So listeners, let's start our Valentine's Day segment with a little question for all of you. Do you think you have the formula for a successful and happy romance? Have you found that one trait that gets you to happily ever after? The one thing you need in your mate that will make that the perfect person for you? Handsomeness, wealth, intelligence, humor. If you think you know what the one thing is that your partner needs to have for the perfect romance forever, call us up, 212-433-WMYC. That's 212-433-9692. We've also posted this on our Facebook page. You can go to WMYC.org or our Facebook page. And our next guest says he's figured it out, mostly. He's got a new book. It's called The Science of Happily Ever After, What Really Matters in the Quest for Enduring Love. And I'm so pleased that it brings relationship expert Ty Toshiro to our studios on this very inclement Valentine's Day. I have to say, Ty, you really are very romantic to weather the storm to be here today.
It's a little ugly outside, but it is Valentine's Day, so that's a happy thing.
And I have to say, you're also a professor at the Center for Addictions, Personality, and Emotion Research at the University of Maryland. And I guess I have to start with the first question you ask in the book. Why is it so hard to find happily ever after?
It is hard. And if you look at the data on this, only about 1 in 3 couples find happily ever after.
Well, that's a little depressing.
It's a little depressing. I'll try to keep it positive
today.
That's
the last depressing thing we're going to say.
That's right. So there's a 50% divorce rate. About 10 to 15% of couples will permanently separate but never file their paperwork. And another 7% will stay chronically unhappy. So the odds are bad, 1 in 3. But there's a lot of science now that can help people improve upon those odds.
Now, it's interesting that you say science, because I picked up the book and I thought it was all going to be all about pheromones and DNA. And you do sort of start in that direction, but then you ultimately get to, well, I don't want to give it away.
Thank you. Yeah.
But I want to talk a little bit about your approach. You study real examples, and you talk about the things that we think we might look for, the traits, and you really start to hone in. And I'm so glad that I had this segment, because I wasn't feeling very romantic about Valentine's Day. And then I was asked to prepare this segment, which meant I had to read the book. And then I read the book, and I'm thrilled that I read the book, because not only did it get me in the mood for Valentine's Day, but it's so enlightening.
Well, thank you.
So let's talk about your approach. You started out by looking at the things we all consider when we, say, step into a cocktail party or a room or maybe a blind date, right? Mm-hmm. What are some of those things?
Well, let's imagine the following scenario, for example. Let's say there's a bachelorette and she's in a room.
Oh, the bachelorette.
The bachelorette. She has 100 eligible bachelors randomly selected from the population. Now, there's certain traits or characteristics that she wants in her ideal partner. Well, let's say she wants somebody tall, someone 6 foot or taller. And in the United States, only 20% of men meet that criteria. So that means 80 of the 100 men would walk out of the room at that point. Now let's say she
wants... Or at least she'd exclude them from her mind.
That's right. That's right. And sometimes this actually happens. So with online dating, people will set hard criteria. They'll get rid of large chunks of people.
Wow.
Sometimes not thinking. There were some people with some great traits and characteristics. They got kicked out of the pool because of this other trait that I said was a hard and fast rule. Let's say she wants someone who's Democrat, for example, which is only about 30 to 35% of the population.
Political affiliation.
Right. Matching on political values is another big one. But that would take you down to only 4 people out of the remaining 20 in the room. So you can see that very quickly.
And they have to be a tall Democrat.
That's right. That's right. And it quickly whittles down the number of options available with each wish that people make for traits in a partner.
Now, let's take a couple of our calls, because I'm very, very curious. We're asking very specifically about traits. We're not talking about the larger – we don't want people to get on here and opine like Aristotle. I don't know that he was terribly romantic, but we don't want Shakespeare here.
Sure. Yeah, right.
All right, let's take Jesse. Jesse, hi. Jesse's a male, Jesse, right?
Yes.
Hey, Jesse. I get the Jamie male female thing all the time. So Jesse, what are you thinking for long-term relationship key?
Long-term relationships, I can't say I'm married right now, but every single one of my really, really excellent long-term relationships, they've always been based in being able to laugh hysterically together. Because, you know, looks fade, but laughter and good communication, that's forever. If you can laugh through something, if you can always communicate, you can get through anything, no matter how difficult or naughty the problem may be.
So sense of humor. Thank you so much, Jesse. Let's go to Terry. We have a lot of these the neutral names today. Terry, hello.
Yes, hello.
Terry, a woman. All right, Terry, what about the trait? What trait are you looking for happily ever after?
Well, I am going on 39 years of marriage this May.
Wow.
And I guess I share Jesse's sensibility, because the first thing that I mentioned was a shared sense of humor. My husband and I are big on puns, and thank heavens our son shares that too.
Well, thank heavens for him.
Yes, and and also I mentioned that my husband started out as a sculptor and he's now a documentary filmmaker, and there's something about the way he sees the world. He can pick up little shells or little things and show me a little sculpture in them, and I pick that up too, and sometimes I will show that to him. Sometimes our dinner gets delayed because the way a bunch of chopped green peppers or something is piled up is just so beautiful, beautifully sculptural. So there's something about the way in seeing the world that we share is very important.
A shared worldview.
Yes, and there are some other things too that are important. I mean, intelligence, shared politics, and there are some other things. But I would say the first two that I mentioned are of supreme importance.
I do wish. Thank you, Terry, so much for your call. I do wish everyone could see Ty's very interesting facial expressions when listening. Very, very respectful but bemused facial expressions when listening. Let's go to Nick in Nassau County. Hello, Nick. Thank you so much for calling in on our Valentine's Day segment. You're on with relationship expert Ty. It's not the kind of show we usually do. Relationship expert Ty Toshiro. What trait do you think leads to happily ever after?
Well, my wife, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My wife and I were married for, I guess, just a little over 22 years. And I guess the characteristic that kind of speaks to me is humility.
Humility.
Humility in that if there's an issue, that you can address it. And I guess the characteristic that my wife is not a pretentious person, and she's just very real and always has been, and I really appreciate her feedback. It's something that has always spoken to me because I know exactly who I'm dealing with, and I feel comfortable with that. I don't get defensive. And in that, I think our relationship has endured, and it has blossomed. We've also known that we have to grow and evolve. We will always grow. The goal is to grow together.
Well, I don't want to give away too much, Nick, about Ty Toshiro's book, The Science of Happily Ever After, but I think you would enjoy it. That's all I will say. I think you would enjoy this book very, very much, because I think much of the lesson of this book dovetails with your, what did you say, 23-year marriage?
22.
I recommend this book to you and to your wife. Maybe it would be a good Valentine's Day gift for you. Thank you, well, Nick, so much for your call.
Thank you.
All right, we have one from Nancy. Nancy, you're calling in, and you are on the line with Ty Toshiro. His book is The Science of Happily Ever After. What is your thought about the trait most important for a long-lasting romance?
Hi, thanks. I have been in a relationship for going on 31 years, April 1st, and it's with a woman who's willing to, like I am, continue to work on herself and to take responsibility for what she brings into things, for her issues, that I'm willing to do that and she's willing to do that. So it's taking responsibility for ourselves and our history, which impacts on our relationship.
Okay, you too, I think, would enjoy the science of Happily Ever After. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
I think these listeners are getting very close to the heart of what your book suggests.
Yes.
because a lot of the superficial things that we look for, getting back to our woman, the bachelorette,
right,
those things that statistically might limit your chances of happiness, happily ever after, seem to be have fallen away for these folks, right?
That's right.
The tall, the attractive, the bank account. What are some of the others? I read it and I thought, no. I'm thinking of, I'm thinking, of course, ahead about my kids who are too young yet to be
sure.
dating, but they're getting there.
Yeah. You want to set them on the right track, certainly.
Yeah, so what are you hearing when these folks call in?
Well, one of the things that I'm struck by is just how long these relationships
yes.
have lasted. It's
enduring.
Well past the 7 years. That's the average.
The itch.
Which is great. And there's some great characteristics that they listed. But you're right. When people make their three wishes for traits in a partner, if you watch them in speed dating studies or online dating studies, situations where you can actually watch what they do, two of their three wishes are spent on looks and money. And we know from longitudinal studies that those aren't great predictors of long-term satisfaction or staying together in the long run. So people kind of squander their wishes. They should really go for some of these other traits, like some of the callers described.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. You do point out that extreme poverty takes a toll on a relationship.
That's right.
Statistically.
That's right. So you want to be at a point where you're financially comfortable. But once you reach that threshold, which lies just a bit beyond the poverty line, then increased wealth doesn't predict your happiness really at all. So we say there's no difference between being with someone who makes $70,000 and someone who makes $700,000 as far as your long-term happiness goes.
I want to take a call, I think, from Bob, who has siblings who have been married for a long time. Bob, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you. No, it's my wife's family. She's one of eight children. Her youngest brother and his wife have been married for about 25 years. Her oldest sister and her husband have been married for more than 60 years. She and I have been together for over 40 years.
My goodness.
There has not been a separation or a divorce ever in that family or in with my brother and I.
No pressure.
And the reason for this is that all the men say, yes, dear, and we say it all.
I hope my husband's listening. Well, Bob, thank you so much. You know, he speaks a bit in jest. But, and I hope you'll forgive me a little bit, Ty, for giving away some of the punchline of your book, but I don't think it suggests at all that people should not give this as a Valentine's gift, because I think it's a wonderful one.
Thank you.
And I'll give it to my husband as a Valentine's gift, but of course, I you know, they gave it to me here at the studio, so maybe I'll buy another copy.
Sure.
For you, Ty, I'm going to go buy another.
I appreciate it.
But really, what he says, the yes, dear, is all about what you say in the end really sustains a relationship.
That's right.
Right?
So there's certain partners who have personality characteristics, relationship attitudes that pick up on what a lot of the callers are talking about with humility or being able to defer in situations. So people with personality traits, for example, that are agreeable or kind, that's one of the personality, and nice guys get a bad rap sometimes, but that's exactly what the last caller is talking about, that you're willing to yield in certain situations and you don't keep track, you don't keep score of what's going on, and that's one of the great predictors of long-term success. But the reason that happens is because partly the person's disposed to it in the first place.
So you're saying nice guys finish first.
Nice guys finish first in the long run. I think early on in dating, sometimes in the teen years, young adult years, they can find it frustrating, but if you look at who makes it to happily ever after, nice guys would have a better chance.
So our last caller, he should be encouraged, and he is after 40 years of marriage. And nice guys finish first, and I suppose nice girls finish first,
exactly.
Or gals or women?
That's right. That's right. It's both ways. And, you know, it's really interesting with these online dating sites because a lot of them will match on, for example, personality characteristics. It's not so much the match that matters. What matters is whether each partner has desirable personality characteristics. So if you have both people that are nice, that's what matters. Not matching on how nice you are, because you might have two people that aren't very nice and you get matched. That's actually a really disastrous situation.
I love the word partner, by the way.
Yeah. I've always preferred that word because the niceness, the agreeableness, the partnership of it, I think, is what endures.
That's right.
And that's the message of your book. It's a wonderful book, Ty Toshiro, The Science of Happily Ever After. Ty, thank you. A truly nice guy. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me on.
I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. More on Monday.